Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
This Odyssey Sports broadcast has been presented by Health Markets. Shop for health insurance your way.
Welcome into Vern's postgame show.
Went to his left, picks it up, spins, jumps, throws to first. In time, he got him. Wow!
Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
And the Royals win it in a very familiar way, pitching, defense, base running, and determination. Good evening, 7-2, the final score. Royals even up this three-game series at Dodger Stadium. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. Text line is there as well. 913-586-7610. So many different directions to go after this one. From the determination of MJ Melendez, a 12-pitch battle in that sixth inning with two outs, ends with his first career grand slam. The determination of Sam Long, how about the performance that we saw again tonight from the lefty that has been through the ringer of baseball? So far, he's been flawless in Kansas City. The determination of MJ, of Sam Long, the base running of Garrett Hampson and Michael Garcia, the defense of Garrett Hampson and Bobby Witt Jr. How about the pitching of Seth Lugo? Right, the reasons why this team was able to get off to a historic month of April and back it up with an equally great month of May is, well, what we saw tonight. Pitching, defense, base running, and determination from these young hitters as they continue to find and search and stumble upon consistency. That's, of course, the next step for MJ Melendez, but he deserves this night. Good for him. Best of luck tomorrow. Pack a lunch as you square off with Tyler Glasnow. I'm wondering, who's your star of the night? This 7-2 Royals victory, it's tough for me to move much farther than where I normally am gravitating towards, and that is the mound. How can you not make this postgame show a celebration of Seth Lugo? More wins than anybody else in the American League. I mean, nobody in Major League Baseball has more wins than Seth Lugo, who improves to 10-2 tonight. Nobody in Major League Baseball has logged more innings for their team than Seth Lugo. He's one of nine pitchers in the sport that has an ERA below 2.5. There's only one pitcher in the world that has spun more quality starts this season than Seth Lugo. Tonight, his 11th. Oh, man, I have said over and over again when asked the question, how many guys are heading to Texas to represent the Royals in the All-Star game? My answer is always three. Bobby, Salvi, and a pitcher. I might need to bump that up to four. Now, we'll see how the schedule plays out. You know, who Matt Quatrero turns to in that Sunday before the All-Star game. Right, if that's Reagans, if that's Lugo, it could take them out of consideration to pitch in the All-Star game. But right now, there's no arguing. Both deserve that trip to Arlington for the Midsummer Classic. Bobby's there, Salvi's there, Cole Reagans and Seth Lugo should be there. Phone lines are open, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Matt says he was at the game at Dodger Stadium. Matt, what did you think of that one as you were a part of more than 50,000 turning out for this one tonight?
Vern, hey, yeah, the boys were playing some ball tonight. It was an awesome atmosphere. That sixth inning was the Dodger fans were on their feet when MJ had two strikes. He kept fouling them off. Before that, we were really questioning the pinch hit. Frazier comes in, swings at what, from our vantage point, looked like some borderline pitches after he walked the bases loaded.
Yep.
And strikes out, and then MJ just kept fouling them off, and, you know, then the grand slam. They were all fired up, and then they weren't. Quite a night. We had, you know, Bobby flashing the leather late. Hampson with that running catch early saved some runs. And it was great to see the Dodger fans leaving early, for sure. So, and I agree with CDOT that the Dodger dog is overrated, but I still had one. So anyway, it was a great night. We drove up from San Diego. My son had a tournament in San Diego. Our schedule worked out where we could come up for the game tonight, and just a great night overall for the Royals.
Oh, well, I'm glad you were in the building, Matt. Glad you had a good time. Thank you very much for listening and the phone call. I appreciate it. Opens up a phone line for you, 913-586-7610. Cleveland lost earlier today, so the boys are five games back in the American League Central. Let's go to Kathy out in Los Angeles. You're next up on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, you know I'm always happy when the Dodgers lose, just because being a Padres fan as well. But when they lose to the Royals, makes it even more special. And all the people that were complaining about MJ, what was just even last week, about how he's not hitting.
No.
Well, I don't think we can have any more complaints about him.
They'll be back. He'll be back, Kathy, I'll tell you that. I mean, he hit a home run on the last homestand, and then the next night they were calling in to complain about him. So it's not going to change anytime soon. And to be quite honest with you, we've known MJ has this in him. That's why the team, that's why myself and you, that's why so many of us are okay with his name continuing to be in that starting lineup, because you know this ability is in there. The question is, can he do it consistently? So far in his career, the answer has been largely no. Hopefully this is the beginning of the turnaround.
I hope so, and I just hope they bring it, you know, get the win tomorrow, and win two out of three against the Dodgers, because that's always glorious for me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it'd be real nice for all of us, no doubt. Kathy, I appreciate the phone call. Thank you very much. Text line is there for you, 913-586-7610. I see Rally Mantis celebrating MJ Melendez. Good for MJ. I'm not expecting anybody to call in and apologize to MJ Melendez. No. But I hope in your private moment you're able to acknowledge the talent that the young man has and how currently that upside is unmatched in the organization. Now, for as talented as Drew Waters, as Kyle Isbell, Dyrone Blanco, Tyler Gentry, wherever you want to go, no one can deliver at the big league level the way that MJ Melendez can deliver at the big league level. Furthermore, nobody's already done the damage at the big league level like MJ Melendez has. Right, 850 OPS in the second half of last season. So you know what's in there. Honestly, on this team, when you look at this 26-man roster, when you look at the 13 position players, who else has put together a second half of a season like MJ did just 6 months ago? Bobby, Vinny, Salvi. That's it. Adam Frazier, I mean, he was an all-star. We'll give it to him. But you see my point. That's why you stick it out with MJ. Now, I'm not saying he's fixed or he's going to take off from here. No, I'm not falling for the banana in the tailpipe. Now, we'll see how the rest of this road trip goes. Facing the best strikeout artist in the sport tomorrow in Tyler Glasnow, and then it's 3 in Oakland, 3 in Texas against the defending World Series champions. Now, we'll know after these remaining 7 games on this road trip, we'll know if MJ does appear indeed to be coming out the other side of this 2-month skid. Thanks for the phone call. Let's go to Raj in the Ozarks. You're next up on the postgame show. As the Royals win 7-2, what do you have to say about MJ's performance tonight?
Hey, Vern, I don't know any left fielder who's making the league minimum that hit a grand slam tonight and won some random Gallen Olathe 25 grand. I think there's 25. Only one guy that did that tonight.
Yeah, so MJ, and I'm furthermore, proud of you. Real quick, Raj,
ahead,
if I can
Ev.
Add
Go
to
ahead,
it,
Vern.
If I can add real quick, his first at-bat, 103-mile-per-hour rocket that the second baseman's unable to handle. A strikeout in his second trip to the dish, but he sees 6 pitches. a 12-pitch at-bat in the sixth that ends in that game-winning grand slam, and then he hits a 105-mile-per-hour rocket at Mookie Betts in his fourth and final trip to the dish. So, you know, the final line says 2 for 4, but it's 4 solid trips to the dish.
Vern, your friend that writes for MLB wrote a great article, Miss Rogers.
Annie Rogers,
last week. Yeah, last week she wrote a great article on MLB.com about him. And she interviewed him after that ninth inning home run he smashed. And he said, you know, she goes, you've been tinkering with your hands, your footwork, your swing and everything. He goes, you know what, I just went up there and was going to hit the baseball. He goes, that's probably my problem. Right. And that was a great article. I really appreciate Miss Rogers writing that. But, hey, MJ, your night tonight, bud, and I'm here for it. I'm here for it. Vern, a quick question to you because you're in the loop there. We sold Logan Porter, the catcher, for cash to the Giants yesterday, his contract. Do you think we have any chance at all? We play Miami Marlins coming up, and they've got a left-handed pitcher that's up for free agency. I think he's making $5.75 million this year.
The reliever, Tanner Scott?
Yes, sir. Do we have any chance at all on getting him?
I don't believe so, no. To me, next to Mason Miller of the Oakland Athletics, who's going to be tough to procure from that organization, Tanner Scott's the Aroldis Chapman of this year's deadline, but he's younger and better, to be quite honest, where he's the one we all know is going to be traded. Yeah.
Vern, you've been alluding to it, and you know that the extra spots in the playoffs this year, you've been alluding to it in your pregame comments a lot. Gosh, there's only like five teams right now that are in, you know, everybody else has a chance. So I think it's going to – I really think everybody's wanting to trade for this and trade for that. Listen, we better open up the refrigerator and see how many cans of beer we got left in there, because I think it's going to be slim pickings on trading. But I do like that we sold Logan Porter for cash, which tells me JJ's kind of positioning himself for maybe a bullpen arm. So,
well, Annie, actually, Raj, thanks for the phone call. Annie Rogers reported earlier that Logan Porter had an opt-out in his contract that he was likely going to trigger. So he was going to get out and get a chance somewhere else. The Royals were able to get something in return. Again, nobody covers the Royals better than Annie Rogers of MLB.com. Make sure you're reading all of her work and subscribe to her newsletter as well. Can't miss stuff. Well, one thing I want to add on to what Raj had to say there about the trade deadline. Yeah, it might be slim pickings. But that's not an excuse, right? J.J. Piccolo and this front office are going to make an acquisition or two to help this bullpen. Is it going to be a household name? Is it going to be someone that gets you all riled up and fired up for the home stretch? No. It'll probably be someone you never heard of. I mean, unless you're really, well, I guess if you're listening this late on a Saturday night, maybe you are dialed into the Royals, but more than likely, it's going to be a reliever that they believe if he comes here, we can get him to start throwing that pitch more. And if he changes his grip on that pitch, we can unleash a beast like we did with Cole Reagans and James MacArthur and John Schreiber and so many others. Now, that's the type of move I see this Royals team making. And my point about teams that are in it in the American League and Major League Baseball, my point really is, you don't need to be great to make the postseason. And at times, selling out to be great doesn't always work. In fact, I mean, look at the Yankees. Royals have won a World Series more recently than the Yankees. Look at this Dodger team. The Royals and Dodgers had the same amount of world titles in the last 35 years. Dodgers have been spending more than everybody else in the league for a decade and a half, and they have a COVID-shortened, nobody was in the building, neutral site World Series trophy. That's it. That's all they have to show for it. And as we've seen over the previous few seasons, since the expansion of the postseason, it doesn't pay to go for it. it's not wise to sell out to be great. Because in baseball, it's just get there. Get to October. You don't need to be great to get to October. You need to find yourself in position in September. And I believe the Royals are going to be in position. And the question is, can this front office find those diamonds in the rough again that ultimately turn out to be the X factor in August, in September, and hopefully the X factor in October? Thanks for the phone call, Raj. Let's go to Mitch, who's in Kansas. Mitch, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call, Vern. Great show, as always, and great comments. The other day when MacArthur blew it, I listened to your show, and I want to thank you for helping people like me and other fans that are pulling for our team to keep it in perspective. He's been in the big leagues for a very short time, had one bad outing, and you helped talk me off the ledge. Nice. I went to the Yankees game where we got blown out 10-0. Had a great night, great time, good seats. But, you know, Judge hit a moonshot followed by Stanton. And then the next day, Judge struck out four times, and we beat them. So, again, with the comparisons of payroll with the Yankees and Dodgers, and our record is just about the same as L.A.'s, and the number of titles that everybody has won in the last 30 years, it helps to keep it in perspective. I love your comments about getting to the postseason. And if you'd have told me or anybody at all last year that we're going to be anything over 500 yeah. in the middle of June, we would have thought you were on something, because they have far exceeded expectations. I was praying for 500 this year, and if we can just play 500 the rest of the way, we will be in playing in the postseason. So thanks, Vern. Great show.
Oh, well, thank you for that phone call. Well stated, Mitch. Appreciate it. Royals, again, on pace to win 92 games this year. My game notes following this 7-2 victory in Los Angeles. Game notes brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow. Be in the know and call Jay's Southland Tow. No one could have predicted this. Last year at this time, December, February during spring training, no one predicted the Royals to have the sixth best run differential in Major League Baseball, a record 10 games above 500, now 41-31 on the season. Phone lines are open, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610, and it is a testament to the front office. And I hate saying it over and over again, because sports radio, to me, you're supposed to be, you know, fighting a little bit more, jabbing at the organization a little bit more, but I got to give them credit. You know, when it's a completely new bullpen, when you sell Lugo and Waka on coming to Kansas City, sure, you needed the green light from ownership, but Major League Baseball is a general manager's sport. Those are the most important people. Within the organization, it begins with the general manager, and JJ's rolling right now. JJ and the rest of his staff are having a nice little run right now. John Schreiber tonight picks up a pair of outs, his team-leading 32nd appearance. I mean, you convince Sam Long to come to Kansas City. You know, that was a sell job by the front office and by the pitching department. You know, and all that goes back to, sure, maybe the vision of John Sherman, but the guy that has carved the way and executed said vision is J.J. Piccolo, Scott Sharp, Dr. Daniel Mack, and the rest. Let's go to Brett in Smithville. You're next up on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Vern, I'm all in on this team. I mean, yeah, we don't have anything else right now. There's no Chiefs, nothing. I'm all in for the ride.
But even when the Chiefs show up, you're not going anywhere.
Oh, and no. Both, I'm right. And I expect us to be there in October. Whether we actually win a game in the playoffs, I'll just be happy to make it. Right now, I think we're the fifth best team in the majors. If we beat the Dodgers tomorrow, I mean, overall, we might not be better than the Dodgers. But when it comes to the rankings, put us at number 5. And then the only thing I'm worried about right now is Salvi going to catch tomorrow with the day or the night and then the day game? So I don't know.
I wouldn't think so. On that. No, I think he'll be back behind the dish coming up in the Oakland series. That's going off of the reporting of Joel Goldberg of Bally Sports Kansas City and the aforementioned Annie Rogers of MLB.com. Now, he was available to hit off the bench. He could be in the lineup tomorrow as a designated hitter, but as you're pointing out, you know, Brett, with an off day on Monday, it might be wise to give the 34-year-old soon-to-be All-Star, it might be wise to give him a day off. Lord knows he's earned it. Royals are now 33-3 when they hold opponents under 4 runs. They limit the Dodgers to 2 tonight and win 7-2. Let's go to Dylan in Kansas City. Dylan, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
How you doing tonight, Vern?
Doing great. How are you?
I just wanted to give a couple of shout-outs. First of all, Seth Lugo. Great start against one of the best fucking lineups.
Whoop. Oh, man, we got to let you go. And hopefully my guy JT Noah was on that. Dylan cleaned it up on a Saturday. Let's go to Aiden in Overland Park. Aiden, you're on 610 Sports Radio. What's going on, brother?
Hey, Vern, thank you for taking the call. MJ is always coming up clutch. I don't know what it is. Wish more clutch opportunities came up for him. But I was going to ask, my main thing is about Salvi, you know, hearing coming back to the dish and catching and stuff. I'm wondering, do we keep putting him behind the plate or should we just keep him as a designated hitter? I mean, I like Fermin. He's great. I'd like Salvi in that designated hitter role a little bit more.
Well, yeah, listen, Aiden, thanks for the phone call. Depending on how this knee checks out, if it's something that's going to bark every once in a while, I think you'll get your wish. I think you will see him more at the DH position, more Freddie Fermin behind the plate, although that is a dicey proposition. If one of them goes down in the game, then you lose your designated hitter. Unless you're cool with keeping Austin Nola around and keeping three catchers on the roster. Now, right now they're playing a man down in the bullpen as they optioned Anthony Veneziano out earlier. Well, you only have 7 guys in that bullpen. You can get away with that when you have Seth Lugo on the hill, as Lugo's gone at least 6 innings in a Major League most 13 games. 13 of his 15 starts, he's given the team at least 6. That's why he leads Major League Baseball in innings pitched. So tonight you can deal with being a man down, but moving forward, that will bite you at some point. So someone has to go off that bench, and it's likely going to be Austin Nola. When that happens, you know, putting your catchers in the lineup every single day is dancing with the devil somewhat. Got to be careful with that. Could come back and bite you. Few other things. You mentioned MJ being clutch. Seems to always come through in those moments, or at least has had quite a few of those moments. And you're right. The home run on the recent homestand, he won a couple of games for the team in the first 2 weeks of the season. But that goes back to a point that I've made a handful of times this season. And it really goes back to my spring training wish for this team. You know, I talk so much about maintain through May and survive the deep end. I was just worried about the psyche of these young hitters that hadn't dealt with real expectations before, hadn't been a part of a team that, you know, had a fan base that was expecting a competitive ball club. A lot of these Royals hadn't been through that before, and I was wondering mentally how would they handle it. How would they handle a losing streak, a personal offensive skid? Would they drown in the deep end? And it was pretty evident after the first month of the season that, wow, even the guys that haven't been here before, they're not afraid of the moment. I mean, I knew Bobby wasn't. I knew Michael Garcia wasn't afraid of the moment. All you had to do was watch some Winter League Baseball and watch that dude ball out. Obviously, Salvi wasn't. You know, Freddie Fermin showed me enough in the last year and a half that I believed he was ready for those big moments. But the way that MJ came through early, the way that Dairon Blanco embraced his role so enthusiastically early on in the season,
Now, there's nothing about Nelson Velasquez that screams, I'm afraid of the moment. You have a lot of guys in the field defensively. Kyle Isbell, I wish you would hit that ball to me. I'm making the play. Hunter Renfro in right. Mike Hell at third. So defensively, offensively. Now, obviously on the mound, Brady Singer and Alec Marsh either want to do one of two things, strike you out or fight you. Seth Lugo and Michael Walker are going to outthink you, and Cole Reagans is just going to bully you. You just have a lot of guys that embrace the moment, want the pressure, want the big moment, want the spotlight. And then to go back to what a previous caller had to say about the Royals being fifth best, I think it was Brett in Smithville who said the Royals are the fifth best team in Major League Baseball, even though the record doesn't bear that out. I'm not going to fight you. Now, I've said it before, there are three teams, in my opinion, on that top tier. Phillies and Yankees. I think the Dodgers will find themselves there firmly after the trade deadline. And if you want to say the Baltimore Orioles are in that top tier, you go right for it. But after those top four teams, there's no one else in Major League Baseball that I say, well, they're better than the Royals. But even those teams, Baltimore, Dodgers, Yankees, Phillies, the only reason I put them on that top tier is because if they don't make it to the World Series, their fan base is going to be fairly upset. I don't know what other fan base came into the season with those type of expectations. Certainly not Kansas City. I mean, honestly, Royals fans, there's no reason to fear anyone. You were right there with the Yankees. You've seen over the past two nights. You're right there with the Dodgers. And why? Well, because what I said right out of the gate. Pitching, defense, base running, and determination. That was the recipe for tonight's win. And that's been the recipe for a large majority of these 41 wins in the first 72 games. Let's go to Scott in Midtown. Scott, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Vern, man, I couldn't agree with you anymore, man. As always, a great job. I just want to hit on a couple things. The 33-3, that blows me away. That means our starting pitching is amazing. I think we need to give some credit to the entire front office and the ownership group. We wanted them to put a consistent team and a winner and show us they care, and they have. I am so all in on this team, even when the Chiefs start, man. I'm a bartender. I hear people talking in my bar all the time. All they're talking about is the Royals. Everybody's excited. Just on a couple other things, man, I like how you're talking about we're not getting intimidated. And these are team-building moments when you can go toe-to-toe. So then when October rolls around and you're maybe facing one of a tough reliever in the seventh inning in, like, game three of the playoffs, you're not intimidated. You're ready. And you mentally are tough and ready to go. And other than that, I think our manager is amazing. The only other thing I would say as a small market team, if we were to kind of follow, which I understand where his head is, kind of I don't want to prop any other team up, but the Tampa model of you pay correctly, you have good starting pitching, defense, you run well, and you have timely hitting. That seems to have worked out for them for like 20 years. They don't spend any money, man. I mean, if we can keep do that, I don't see any reason we can't keep this up forever. I'm going to get off the air, man, and once again, go Royals.
Yeah, great phone call, Scott, to piggyback on that, to go off of Tampa. I don't know how much of them you've watched this season. They don't look like classic Tampa Bay. As far as doing those little things well, it's. I'm not saying it's because year two without Q, but it just doesn't look the same this year in Tampa. Yeah, you know what? As you talk about the way that they've gone about their business, you can throw Cleveland into the mix as well. Teams that are consistently competitive despite the fact that they're in the bottom third of Major League Baseball in payroll every single year. Yeah, that's the edict handed down to J.J. Piccolo. This is what I want. And that's what John Sherman has told J.J. Piccolo. Look at them as the model. Easier said than done.
because the front office in Cleveland is drafting and developing pitching better than almost anybody else in the sport. Down in Tampa, they're winning for the most part. They've won 70-75% of their trades, waiver claims, acquisitions in the offseason, free agent signings. They're always winning in the margins. And that's the edict. That's the request of J.J. Piccolo. And as you look ahead, man, I talked about this yesterday on the On Deck show. Take a look at what starting pitching options this team could have in 2024. Cole Reagans and Seth Lugo, obviously. Alec Marsh is your number three, sure. You know, Chris Bubich, Kyle Wright coming back from injury. Michael Wacha could opt into his contract and return next season. And just like that, there's seven names. You throw in a Chandler Champlain. I haven't even mentioned Brady Singer. To me, Cleveland, Tampa, they trade Brady Singer this offseason. I don't say that with a smile. You know how I feel about Brady Singer. But you want to restock the farm system with a piece. Well, Brady Singer could bring that piece this offseason if he can finish strong. If the he has an opportunity to showcase his abilities in October in front of a national audience, yeah, Brady Singer could bring you back something nice for that farm system, and maybe the rotation doesn't even miss him next year. Seth Lugo's back next year. Lugo tonight, his 11th quality start of the season. He's the sixth pitcher in Royals history to pick up 10 wins in his first 15 starts. Royals win 7-2. Quick timeout. We get back to your thoughts after this.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
3-2, and the pitch, and a swing, and a high fly ball, deep right field. Right fielder back, Hayward looking up. It's gone. It's a grand slam. MJ Melendez, a grand slam home run. The Royals take the lead. It's 5-2. MJ sees a 12th pitch and hits it into the right field pavilion. 5-2 KC. A season of frustration and a moment to smile for MJ Melendez. What an at bat. 12 pitches, ends in a grand slam to right field. First career grand slam for MJ Melendez.
Oh, Steve Stewart crushing that call. MJ Melendez's game-winning grand slam in the sixth inning made it 5-2. Good guys, they would go on to win 7-2, and you heard it all right here on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the love is pouring in for MJ Melendez on the text line from Gabe at Independence. Eric at Independence was putting the kids to bed when bases were loaded. He went and woke up his son, and they tried to contain their joy not to wake up the baby. Great job, Eric and son. Who's this from? Katie in North Carolina, Vern. I hear MJ Melendez and Mendy from Olathe are buying the next round. Yeah, no doubt. MJ because of the grand slam, and apparently MJ won Mendy in Olathe $25,000 for that Sonic Slam sixth inning blast. So much love for MJ coming in. I'm loving to see it. Mark in the Northland. Vern, he earned that at-bat, battling off high heat time after time after time and not falling for that heartbreaking slider. A great 12-pitch at-bat. Vern, if you can't tell, I'm a big fan of MJ, signed Mark, in the Northland. Yeah, no doubt. Lance in Overland Park is fired up for MJ Melendez. Caden writes in, loving on Seth Lugo as well. Yeah, deservedly so. Royals win 7-2. More love for MJ Melendez. Keep it up, guys. Text line's always open for you. 913-586-7610. Well, let's hear what MJ had to say after this game on the field to Joel Goldberg of Bally Sports Kansas City.
Yeah, felt really good. Seeing all those pitches, I don't know exactly how many it was, but, you know, as you see more pitches, your confidence just starts to grow and grow, and you start to feel a little bit more comfortable. I know I was swinging a lot of pitches, but, you know, I felt good. I was fouling them off, and I know it's probably his best pitch is cutter, so to get on top of that one felt good.
You saw a lot of cutters. Do you have, just out of curiosity, a guess how many pitches?
It probably felt like way more than it was. I don't know, maybe like 9?
No, it was more. It was 12. 12 pitches. I guess you get in such a zone at that point. What are you thinking as you're fouling off ball after ball?
Just stay with it, stay on time, and just try to keep looking for the same pitch. Obviously I know the cutter is a big pitch, but he also has a sinker he likes to use, and obviously that sweeper as well. But just really trying to stay on the cutter and try to foul off everything else, and try to stay on the cutter if he leaves it over the plate.
How would you describe the energy as you walk into the dugout, three guys that all walk before you following the electricity?
Oh yeah, amazing. Obviously that doesn't happen with other guys in front of me. Felt really comfortable at the at bat, but like I said, it's not the same situation if everybody doesn't get on right there.
I could ask you about how much you've been grinding, but we've talked about it over and over again, the work that you're putting in, looking for those results, obviously rewarded for it tonight. I want to know what it's like playing at this venue, Dodger Stadium, in front of 50,000 people, the third oldest stadium in Major League Baseball.
Oh, it's amazing. Historic stadium, obviously one of the best teams in the league. They made a lot of postseason runs, and that's what we're trying to do this year. So to be able to come in here and get that win today and, come in here tomorrow firing on all cylinders and hopefully get that series win is going to be huge for us.
Nice early Father's Day present. I know your family is here. Congratulations on your first career Major League Grand Slam.
Thank you, Joel.
There you go. That's MJ Melendez following his game-winning granny. Royals win 7-2. MJ, one of two Royals with multi-hit nights. The other, take a wild guess, yeah, it's Bobby Witt Jr., is Major League leading 31st multi-hit game of the season. What else did Bobby do tonight? I always love doing this. He had two hits, so he now has 95 base hits. That's one back of Luis Arraez for the most in baseball. He stole his 20th base of the season. That's fourth most in Major League Baseball. He drove in his 51st run of the season. That's seventh best in Major League Baseball. If you missed it, Royals jump out to the early deficit or find themselves, excuse me, they find themselves in front as they, Vinny Pasquantino leads off the fourth inning by ripping a hanging curveball from the lefty reliever, Michael Grove. Grove came in, if you missed it, Dodgers starting pitcher Yoshinobu Yamamoto left the game after two innings. His velocity was down. They're calling it triceps tightness. Yikes. Dodgers just gave that dude $325 million. So they bring in the lefty reliever, and in his second inning of work, he gives up a rocket leadoff single to Vinny Pasquantino. Freddie Fermin then goes with a cutter on the outside part of the plate. He shoots it to right field for a one-out double. Second and third with one out. The only thing Nick Lofton can't do is strike out. And he does not strike out. He puts the ball in play. Vinny scores from third, and the Royals jump out in front 1-0. Now, it was short-lived as Seth Lugo would give it right back. A fastball up to Freddie Freeman is laced to center field for a leadoff double. And then Michael Garcia can't handle a backhand off of the bat of Teoscar Hernandez. So the Dodgers just fall behind 1-0. But just like that, it's first and second with nobody out. Seth Lugo would hit Jason Hayward a moment later, and two pitches after that, Gavin Lux hits what could have been a double play ball, but the Royals' infield was shifted, much to the ire of Seth Lugo, and Gavin Lux's ground ball up the middle turns into a two-run, two-out single, and the Dodgers go ahead 2-1. That would be until MJ Melendez cracks that sixth-inning grand slam. Boys go up 5-2. They get two more in the seventh inning thanks to a leadoff triple from Garrett Hampson. Michael Garcia then draws a walk. Bobby plates Garrett Hampson with a first-pitch fastball taken into left field for an RBI single. Two batters later, Nelson Velasquez drives in Michael Garcia with a sacrifice fly. And that's how we arrive at our final score. Royals 7, Dodgers 2. The Royals are now 33-12 when they score four or more runs.
913-586-7610 is our phone number. That's 913-586-7610. Vinny Pasquantino scored two of the Royals' seven runs, and he spoke with Annie Rogers on MLB Network, on Bally Sports Kansas City after the game.
On base for MJ's 12-pitch grand slam, how'd you see him kind of work through that, and what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, obviously an incredible at bat. I know that's something he's been looking for, and it's been something looking for from him. So it was awesome to see him, just be able to battle. I mean, at the end of the day, even if he had lost that at bat, it's still an incredible at bat. But the fact that to be able to put up four runs, one swing after 12 pitches, it's incredible.
For you guys to set that up with the walks too, I mean, what's the key with trying and knowing how nasty he is?
Yeah, I mean, his stuff is, it moves like a wiffle ball, everything. I guess I have a question. It's like, do we know what happened with Yamamoto?
Tricep tightness.
Because I thought Grove might go a little bit longer. And that the only reason I thought that is because he was a starter when I faced him in Double A. So it was 3 years ago or whatever. But I thought he would go longer. But I think we felt pretty good with them going different pitcher. I don't think that's a spot they wanted to be in tonight. Just, you got one of your guys going. You expect him to go 6-7, and then they had to kind of use the whole bullpen there. Not everybody, but a lot of the guys. So I think it was just one of those things where you kind of get into a position where you want to take some of these relievers into deeper waters, especially when you know that they have to use a bunch of guys. So I think for us, being able to go walk to a 12-pitch at bat, for us, there's a win in that. Without the home run, it's just Trinan's probably down tomorrow. I mean, he threw a lot of pitches, and we were able to put a bunch on him. So, and then to be able to score like we did, incredible.
That's the undeniable Vinny Pasquantino, who's drawn six walks in his last five games, a stretch in which he scored three runs and driven in three runs. Vinny walked twice tonight, had a leadoff single that I mentioned in the fourth inning, and he's right. Yeah, that grand slam from MJ Melendez put an end to the night from Blake Trinan. Wiffle ball slider, right-hander Blake Trinan, who got Bobby Witt Jr. to fly out as he took over in the sixth inning with the Dodgers up 2-1. But then a seven-pitch battle with Vinny Pasquantino ends in a walk. Seven-pitch battle with Nelson Velasquez ends in a walk. And a six-pitch battle with Freddie Fermin ends in a walk. And now bases are loaded with only one out. Trinan would get Adam Frazier swinging through a slider, but he would not get MJ Melendez despite that 12-pitch battle ending in MJ's first career Grand Slam. Let's go to Dan and KCK. Dan, you're next up on the postgame show as the Royals win 7-2.
Hey, Josh, how you doing? Yeah, great win by the Royals. MJ, well, that 12-pitch, he hit it to right field for the Grand Slam. And I said, Lugo, 10 wins off. He'll be on pace to get 21 wins and break and finally end 20-game winning for Mike Gubbins the last time he won. I think it was 1988, and we won 20 games. So let's take 2 out of 3. Let's go, Josh. Take care.
I appreciate it. Yeah, on pace for 22-23 wins. Seth Lugo tonight picking up dub number 10. He's 10-2. Nobody else in the American League has reached double-digit victories. 913-586-7610. That's the phone number. That's also the text line number. We'll take a dive into that text line and head back inside the Royals Clubhouse after this.
Follow the Character Concerns podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. 610 Sports Radio, KCSB Kansas City, WDAF HD2 Liberty, and Odyssey Sports Station. Welcome back to Vern's postgame show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City. 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Royals wanting some insurance. They're up by 3. The pitch and a swing and a liner into left field. A base hit broke his bat, but he gets a hit out of it. And an RBI as Hampson comes in to score. Stopping at second is Garcia, and Bobby wasn't waiting around. He jumps on the first pitch, drives in his 51st run of the year with a base hit to left field to bring Hampson home from third. And the Royals lead is 6-2.
Steve Stewart on the call, last heard here on 610 Sports Radio. Nelson Velasquez, two batters later, would hit a sack fly to center to make it 7-2 Royals, and that would be our final score. Royals even up the 3-game series at Dodgers Stadium, taking game 2 and getting their record back to 10 games above 500. The Royals still have a 4.5-game cushion that secures their current playoff spot.
And we talk so much about this 19-game stretch against teams in playoff position. It comes to an end tomorrow. Royals 7-11 thus far. 8-11, 7-12, regardless, the Royals' job well done in this gauntlet. You kept your heads about yourself. For the most part, you played well-rounded baseball. The defense slipped here and there. But for the most part, you come away from this gauntlet saying, it's a damn fine baseball team. Bobby Witt Jr. with that RBI. Bobby now has 28 RBI in his last 27 games. He has a hit in 25 of those 27 games, a batting average of .376. Royals win 7-2 behind another strong effort from Seth Lugo. Six innings of two-run baseball on six hits, four punch-outs, and one walk. He had this to say after the game to Bally Sports Kansas City.
Evaluate that one for you tonight.
Yeah, I thought it went pretty well. I executed most of my pitches, so I was happy with that. I felt like I kept them off balance well. Happy we got the win.
Just navigating that lineup, what's the key there? This is the second big offense that you've faced in a row here with the Yankees also. So what's the key to navigating?
I think the biggest thing is, make them respect the fastball inside. I feel like I did that pretty well throughout the game. Kept them honest. Gave me a little space for some breaking balls down and away. But, it's a tough lineup. But, executing pitches was key.
MJ hits the grand slam, and then you come out and get that shutdown frame in the sixth. How important was that?
It was huge, especially after not getting the shutdown earlier in the game. They gave us a lot of momentum, and I knew if I could get a quick inning, then the boys would keep scoring for us.
What did you think of that 12-pitch at-bat that MJ put together against Trinan?
It was incredible. I mean, Trinan's a great pitcher, and, MJ, he really battled and kept fouling off good pitches. You got to give it to him. That's not easy to do what he did, and then square one up and hit it out of the park. I mean, that's the game right there.
The two runs in the fourth got the ground ball you wanted with Lux. Is that what you wanted, what you were trying to do there?
Yeah, absolutely. I knew that pitch would fit right there and get him on the ground. And, I felt like I was pretty unlucky with, where he hit it. I thought off the bat that was the end of the inning, and I was a little surprised we were in the four hole so much. But, stayed with it and kept making pitches after that.
How does it feel to be first pitcher in AL this year to reach 10 wins?
It feels great. I never got to 10 in the big leagues or in the minors, so getting to 10, that was really cool. Been waiting for that one.
Is it something you still pay attention to? I mean, not a lot of people talk about pitcher wins nowadays, but it's something that you kind of look at?
Absolutely. I know wins isn't as big of a deal these days as it used to be, but if you're pitching deep in games, then you give yourself a chance to get wins. So, that's the goal as a pitcher, is to pitch deep in a game and leave with a chance for the W. And, I think that's kind of a thing. It's sad that, it's not appreciated anymore, but, I appreciate it.
I think it was your 50th career win, too, if I'm not mistaken. So another milestone there.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I didn't know, yeah. I like that.
Mm-hmm. I knew those wins that you kind of wrapped up this year kind of set the tone for the rest of the starting rotation as well.
Well, these younger guys, they got great arms and they got great stuff. And, be able to execute a game plan, and even after giving up a couple runs, stay in there and keep executing pitches, it's something we feed off of as a staff.
There you go. That's Seth Lugo following his 11th quality start of the season, 6 strong from the veteran right-hander. Royals are now 27-8 when they lead after 6 innings. Let's go to the text line. What do we have left at the Jays Southland Tow Service text line? 913-586-7610. Mike in Omaha is curious where the Royals will be playing baseball in 5 years. Well, I don't have the answer, of course, Mike. My best guess would be downtown Kansas City, Missouri. Alan in Olathe's curious of what the Royals need at the trade deadline and who they'll move to acquire what they need. Well, what they need right now is bullpen arms, just arms, pitchers. What will they move? Nothing of note. In my opinion, nothing that you'll miss,
nothing that will put pressure on this team. It's not going to be, oh my God, you just traded Sean Manaea away for Ben Zobrist? I don't think that's going to happen. To be quite honest with you, this year's trade deadline, I don't think the names that you acquire or the names that you part with will make waves. Now, in baseball nerd circles, yeah, sure. Royals Twitter, sure. But for most of you, with a 9-to-5, no. You'll go, what's his name? Where'd he pitch before? Oh, okay, yeah, good. I hope it works out. The acquisitions that this organization makes at the deadline will be celebrated at the time, but all that matters is how they perform after the trade. You could trade for Mariano, the second coming of Mariano Rivera, and if he comes here and stinks, it's a bad move. It's a thankless job being a general manager, but that's the job. So right now I would say relievers, but who knows what this team looks like in a month. A month from now is when I would expect the Royals to really start picking it up. That's when I would expect them to start pulling the trigger on those moves. So hopefully they're healthier then, better then. But who knows? You know, one injury here, one injury there, and maybe they're not making any additions at all. Double J is hoping to party like it's June of 2003 as the Royals win at Dodger Stadium for the first time since June of 2003. Great job, Double J. Appreciate you listening. I know you'll be listening tomorrow as Brady Singer squares off with Tyler Glasnow in the finale of this three-game series at historic Dodger Stadium. I can't wait. Two of my favorite pitchers in the sport going at it tomorrow. 3:10 for the first pitch, and I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 2 o'clock. I know Tyler Glasnow's the opposition. I love watching that dude. Now, it's not going to be fun if he's carving up the Royals tomorrow. But I can tell you this, MJ's not afraid. Vinny's not afraid. Mike Kell and Bobby are not afraid. Nelson Velasquez is hoping his name is in the lineup. Kyle Isbell's hoping that the ball's hit to him in center field tomorrow. Brady Singer is going to relish this moment tomorrow. He always steps it up in the biggest moments. Oh, I can't wait. JT Noah, I can't. You'll be there. Appreciate your help tonight, buddy. Enjoy the rest of your night, Kansas City. Take care.
You've been listening. Follow the Character Concerns podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. 610 Sports Radio, KCSB Kansas City, WDAF HD2 Liberty, and Odyssey Sports Station. Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City. 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Royals wanting some insurance. They're up by 3. The pitch and a swing and a liner into left field. A base hit. Broke his bat, but he gets a hit out of it. And an RBI as Hampson comes in to score. Stopping at second is Garcia, and Bobby wasn't waiting around. He jumps on the first pitch, drives in his 51st run of the year with a base hit to left field to bring Hampson home from third. And the Royals lead is 6-2.
Steve Stewart on the call, last heard here on 610 Sports Radio. Nelson Velasquez, two batters later, would hit a sack fly to center to make it 7-2 Royals, and that would be our final score. Royals even up the three-game series at Dodger Stadium, taking game two and getting their record back to 10 games above 500. The Royals still have a 4.5-game cushion that secures their current playoff spot. And we talk so much about this 19-game stretch against teams in playoff position. It comes to an end tomorrow. Royals 7-11 thus far. 8-11, 7-12, regardless, the Royals' job well done in this gauntlet. You kept your heads about yourself. For the most part, you played well-rounded baseball. The defense slipped here and there. But for the most part, you come away from this gauntlet saying, it's a damn fine baseball team. Bobby Witt Jr. with that RBI. Bobby now has 28 RBI in his last 27 games. He has a hit in 25 of those 27 games, a batting average of 376. Royals win 7-2 behind another strong effort from Seth Lugo. Six innings of two-run baseball on six hits, four punch-outs, and one walk. He had this to say after the game to Bally Sports Kansas City.
Evaluate that one for you tonight?
Well, I thought it went pretty well. I executed most of my pitches, so I was happy with that. I felt like I kept them off balance well. Happy we got the win.
Just navigating that lineup, what's the key there? This is the second big offense that you've faced in a row here with the Yankees also. So what's the key to navigating?
I think the biggest thing is, make them respect the fastball inside. I feel like I did that pretty well throughout the game. Kept them honest. Gave me a little space for some breaking balls down and away. But, it's a tough lineup, but, executing pitches was key.
MJ hits the grand slam, and then you come out and get that shutdown frame in the sixth. How important was that for you?
It was huge, especially after not getting the shutdown earlier in the game. They gave us a lot of momentum, and I knew if I could get a quick inning, then the boys would keep scoring for us.
What did you think of that 12-pitch at-bat that MJ put together against Trinan?
It was incredible. I mean, Trinan's a great pitcher, and, MJ, he really battled, and kept fouling off good pitches. You got to give it to him. That's not easy to do what he did, and then square one up and hit it out of the park. I mean, that's the game right there.
The two runs in the fourth got the ground ball you wanted with Lux. Is that what you wanted, what you were trying to do there?
Yeah, absolutely. I knew that pitch would fit right there and get him on the ground. And, I felt like I was pretty unlucky with, where he hit it. I thought off the bat that was the end of the inning, and I was a little surprised we were in the four hole so much, but stayed with it and kept making pitches after that.
How does it feel to be first pitcher in AL this year to reach 10 wins?
It feels great. I never got to 10 in the big leagues or in the minors, so getting to 10, that was really cool. Been waiting for that one.
Is it something you still pay attention to? I mean, not a lot of people talk about pitcher wins nowadays, but it's something that you kind of look at.
Absolutely. I know wins isn't as big of a deal these days as it used to be, but if you're pitching deep in games, then you give yourself a chance to get wins. So that's the goal as a pitcher, is to pitch deep in a game and leave with a chance for the W. And I think that's kind of a thing. It's sad that it's not appreciated anymore, but I appreciate it.
I think it was your 50th career win too, if I'm not mistaken. So another milestone there.
That's pretty cool. I didn't know. Yeah, I like that.
How do those wins that you kind of wrapped up this year kind of set the tone for the rest of the starting rotation as well?
Well, these younger guys, they got great arms and they got great stuff, and be able to execute a game plan, and even after giving up a couple runs, stay in there and keep executing pitches, it's something we feed off of as a staff.
There you go. That's Seth Lugo following his 11th quality start of the season, 6 strong from the veteran right-hander. Royals are now 27-8 when they lead after 6 innings. Let's go to the text line. What do we have left at the Jay's Southland Tow Service text line? 913-586-7610. Mike in Omaha is curious where the Royals will be playing baseball in 5 years. Well, I don't have the answer, of course, Mike. My best guess would be downtown Kansas City, Missouri. Alan in Olathe's curious of what the Royals need at the trade deadline and who they'll move to acquire what they need. Well, what they need right now is bullpen arms, just arms, pitchers. What will they move? Nothing of note, in my opinion. Nothing that you'll miss. Nothing that will put pressure on this team. It's not going to be, oh my God, you just traded Sean Manaea away for Ben Zobrist? I don't think that's going to happen. To be quite honest with you, this year's trade deadline, I don't think the names that you acquire or the names that you part with will make waves. Now, in baseball nerd circles, yeah, sure. Royals Twitter, sure. But for most of you, with a 9-to-5, no. You'll go, what's his name? Where'd he pitch before? Okay, yeah, good. I hope it works out. the acquisitions that this organization makes at the deadline will be celebrated at the time, but all that matters is how they perform after the trade. You could trade for Mariano, the second coming of Mariano Rivera. And if he comes here and stinks, it's a bad move. It's a thankless job being a general manager. But that's the job. So right now I would say relievers, but who knows what this team looks like in a month. A month from now is when I would expect the Royals to really start picking it up. That's when I would expect them to start pulling the trigger on those moves. So hopefully they're healthier then, better then. But who knows? You know, one injury here, one injury there, and maybe they're not making any additions at all. Double J is hoping to party like it's June of 2003 as the Royals win at Dodger Stadium for the first time since June of 2003. Great job, Double J. Appreciate you listening. I know you'll be listening tomorrow as Brady Singer squares off with Tyler Glasnow in the finale of this three-game series at historic Dodger Stadium. I can't wait. Two of my favorite pitchers in the sport going at it tomorrow. 3:10 for the first pitch, and I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 2 o'clock. I know Tyler Glasnow's the opposition. I love watching that dude. Now, it's not going to be fun if he's carving up the Royals tomorrow. But I can tell you this, MJ's not afraid. Vinny's not afraid. Mike Kell and Bobby are not afraid. Nelson Velasquez is hoping his name is in the lineup. Kyle Isbell's hoping that the ball's hit to him in center field tomorrow. Brady Singer is going to relish this moment tomorrow. He always steps it up in the biggest moments. Oh, I can't wait. JT, no, I can't. You'll be there. Appreciate your help tonight, buddy. Enjoy the rest of your night, Kansas City. Take care. You've been listening.